2409, verse 16. And he lingered, and the men laid hold of his hand, and of the hand of his wife, and of the hand of his two daughters, in the clemency of Yahuwah upon him. And they led him forth, and set him without the city. And he lingered signifies opposition arising from the nature of evil. And the men laid hold of his hand, and of the hand of his wife, and of the hand of his two daughters, signifies that the Lord powerfully withheld them from evils, and thereby strengthened the goods and truths signified by Lot, his wife, and his daughters. In the clemency of Yahuwah upon him, signifies from grace and mercy. And they led him forth and set him without the city, signifies his state then. 2410. And he lingered. That this signifies opposition arising from the nature of evil is evident from what was said above, number 2406. For the evil which is in man continually reacts against the good which is from the Lord. Evil from what is hereditary and from what is actual adheres to man in each of his thoughts, nay, in the least things of his thoughts. This drags him downward, but the Lord, by means of the good which he instills, withholds him and uplifts him, so that the man is held suspended between evil and good. And the consequence of this downward tendency is that if, even for the least moment, the man were not withheld from evils, he would of himself rush downward. And this he would do more in the state in which is the man of the church now represented by Lot than in the former state. This state is that he is beginning to think and to act not so much from good as from truth, thus at some distance from good. 2411. And the men laid hold of his hand, and of the hand of his wife, and of the hand of his two daughters. That this signifies that the Lord powerfully withheld from evils, and thus strengthened the goods and truths signified by Lot, his wife, and his daughters, is evident from the signification of the men as being the Lord, concerning which above. From the signification of the hand as being power, see number 878. Also from the signification of Lot as being the good of charity, see number 2324, 2351, 2371, 2399. From the signification of wife as being the truth of faith, treated of in the 26th verse. From the signification of daughters as being the affections of good and of truth, see number 489 to 491, 2362. And finally, from what was said above, number 2388, namely, that good and truth flow in from the Lord in the proportion that man is withheld from evil. Consequently, that the goods and truths signified by Lot, his wife, and his two daughters are in the same proportion strengthened. On reflection, every man may know this from his own experience, for in proportion as he is removed from corporeal and worldly things, in the same proportion he is in a spiritual idea, that is uplifted toward heaven, as is the case when he is in any holy worship, when in any temptation, also when in misfortune or sickness. It is well known that corporeal and worldly things, that is, the loves of them, are then removed. The reason being as stated, namely, that what is celestial and spiritual from the Lord continually flows in, but evil and its derivative falsity, and falsity and its derivative evil, which flow in from corporeal and worldly things, are what hinder its being received. 2412. In the clemency of Yahuwah unto him. That this signifies from grace and mercy is evident from the signification of the clemency of Yahuwah, which can be nothing else than grace and mercy. that man's being withheld from evil and kept in good by the Lord is of his pure mercy, may be seen above, number 1049. The reason both grace and mercy are mentioned is, as before explained, number 598, 981, that they who are in truth, and from truth in good, implore the Lord's grace only, whereas they who are in good, and from good in truth, implore his mercy. And this difference results from the difference that exists in their respective states of humiliation and consequent adoration. 2413. And they led him forth and set him without the city. That this signifies his state at the time is evident from the signification of leading forth as being to withhold, and from the signification of setting without the city as being away from falsity, so that the state here referred to was that by his being withheld from evils, goods and truths from the Lord were strengthened. 2414, verse 17. And it came to pass when they were leading them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not back behind thee, and stay not in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And it came to pass when they were leading them forth abroad, signifies the state when they were being withheld from falsity and evil. That he said, Escape for thy life, signifies that he should take thought for his eternal life. Look not back behind thee, signifies that he should not look to doctrinal things. And stay not in all the plain, signifies that he should not linger in any of these doctrinal matters. Escape to the mountain, signifies to the good of love and of charity. Lest thou be consumed, signifies that if he should do otherwise, he would perish. 2415. And it came to pass when they were leading them forth abroad, that this signifies the state when they were being withheld from falsity and evil, is evident from what was said just above, number 2413, as also numbers 2388, 2411. 2416. That he said, Escape for thy life. That this signifies that he should take thought for his eternal life is evident without explication. But in what way he should take thought for his life now follows. 2417. Look not back behind thee. That this signifies that he should not look to doctrinal things is evident from the signification of looking back behind him when the city was behind him and the mountain before him. For by city is signified what is doctrinal, number 402, 2268, 2392, and by mountain, love and charity, number 795, 1430. That this is the signification will be evident in the explication at verse 26, where it is said that his wife looked back behind him and became a pillar of salt. Everyone may know that in this expression, looking back behind him, there is some divine arcanum, and that it lies too deep to be seen. For in looking back behind him, there appears to be nothing criminal, and yet it is a matter of importance so great that it is said he should escape for his life, that is, should take thought for his eternal life by not looking back behind him. But what it is to look to doctrinal things will be seen in what follows. In this place we shall merely state what these doctrinal things are. What is doctrinal is twofold: that of love and charity, and that of faith. At first, while it is still a little maid and a virgin, every church of the Lord has no other doctrine and loves no other than that of charity, for this belongs to life. But successively, the church turned itself away from this doctrine until it begins to hold it cheap and at length to reject it. And then it acknowledges no other doctrine than that which is called the doctrine of faith. And when it separates faith from charity, this doctrine conspires with a life of evil. Such was the case with the primitive church, or that of the Gentiles, after the Lord's coming. In its beginning, it had no other doctrine than that of love and charity, for this the Lord himself taught. See number 2371 at the end. But after his time, successively, as love and charity began to grow cold, there arose the doctrine of faith, and with it dissensions and heresies, which increased as men came to lay stress on this doctrine. The like was the case with the ancient church that was after the flood, and was extended through so many kingdoms, number 2385. This church also in its beginning knew no other doctrine than that of charity, because this looked to and affected the life, and by so doing they had regard for their eternal welfare. And yet after some time the doctrine of faith too began to be cultivated with some, and at length to be separated from charity. But those who did this they called ham, because they were in a life of evil. See number 1062, 1063, 1076. The most ancient church, which was before the flood, and which in preeminence to all others was called man, was in the very perception of love to the Lord and of charity toward the neighbor. Thus it had the doctrine of love and charity inscribed on itself. But even then there were those who cultivated faith, and when they separated it from charity, they were called Cain, for by Cain is signified such faith, and by Abel, whom he killed, charity. See the explication of chapter 4. This shows that there are two doctrines, the one of charity and the other of faith, although in themselves the two are one. For the doctrine of charity involves all things of faith. But when the doctrine comes to be from those things alone which are of faith, it is then called twofold, because faith is separated from charity. That these doctrines are separated at the present day may be seen from the fact that it is altogether unknown what charity is and what the neighbor is. They who are solely in the doctrine of faith are not aware that charity toward the neighbor consists in anything beyond giving of their own to others, and in feeling pity for anybody who may seem to need it, because they call everybody the neighbor without distinction. And yet charity is all good whatever there is in a man, in his affection and in his zeal, and from these in his life. And the neighbor is all the good in others by which one is affected, consequently those who are in good, and this with every possible distinction. For example, that man is in charity and mercy who exercises justice and judgment by punishing the evil and rewarding the good. There is charity in punishing the evil, for to this are we impelled by our zeal to amend them, and at the same time to protect the good, lest these suffer injury at the hands of the evil. In this way does a man consult the welfare of one who is in evil, or his enemy, and expresses good feeling toward him, as well as to others, and to the common weal itself, and this from charity toward the neighbor. The case is the same with all the other goods of life, for the good of life is never possible unless it comes from charity toward the neighbor, because it looks to this and involves it. Seeing, then, that there is obscurity so great as regards the true nature of charity and of the neighbor, it is clear that the doctrine of charity, the doctrine of faith having assumed the first place, is among the things that are lost, when yet it was this alone that was cultivated in the ancient church, and that to such a degree that they reduced into classes all the goods that belonged to charity toward the neighbor, that is, all those who were in good, and this with many distinctions, to which they also gave names, calling them the poor, the miserable, the oppressed, the sick, the naked, the hungry, the thirsty, captives or those in prison, strangers, orphans, and widows. Some also they called the lame, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the maimed, besides many other names. In the word of the Old Testament, the Lord has spoken in accordance with this doctrine, on which account such terms so often occur there. And he himself again spoke in accordance with the same doctrine, as in Matthew 25, verses 35, 36, 38, 39, 40, 42 to 45, Luke 14, verses 13 and 21, and in many other places. Hence it is that in the internal sense, these names have quite a different signification. In order, therefore, that the doctrine of charity may be restored, it will of the Lord's divine mercy be stated in the following pages who those denoted by these names are, and what charity is, and what the neighbor is, both generally and specifically. 2418. Stay not in all the plain. That this signifies that he should not linger in any of these doctrinal matters is evident from the signification of a plain as being everything of a doctrinal nature, concerning which presently. How the case stands with his not lingering in any of these doctrinal matters shall be stated at verse 26, where Lot's wife is treated of in that she looked back behind him. That in the word a plain signifies all things of a doctrinal nature is evident in Jeremiah. He that layeth waste shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape, and the valley shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed. 48, verse 8. Where city denotes false doctrine, and the plain all things that belong to that doctrine. In John, when the 1,000 years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go forth to seduce the nations, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up upon all the plain of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and consumed them. Revelation 20, verses 7 to 9. Where Gog and Magog denote those who are in external worship without internal, thus worship become idolatrous. Number 1151. The plain of the earth, the doctrinal things of the church, which they lay waste. The camp of the saints, the goods of love and of charity. Their being consumed by fire from God out of heaven means the same as when this is said of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 24. Again, the doctrinal things of charity are called the cities of the mountain, and the doctrinal things of faith, the cities of the plain, in Jeremiah 33, verse 13. 2419. Escape to the mountain, that this signifies to the good of love and of charity, is evident from the signification of a mountain as being love and charity. See number 795, 1430. 2420. Lest thou be consumed, that this signifies that if he should do otherwise, he would perish, is evident without explication. 2421, verses 18 and 19. And Lot said unto them, Nay, I pray, my lords, behold, I pray, thy servant hath found grace in thine eyes, And thou hast made thy mercy great, which thou hast done with me to make alive my soul. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest peradventure evil cleave to me, and I die. Lot said unto them, Nay, I pray, my lords, signifies weakness, so that he could not. Behold, I pray, thy servant hath found grace in thine eyes, signifies humiliation from the affection of truth. Thou hast made thy mercy great, signifies a semblance of humiliation from the affection of good, which thou hast done with me to make alive my soul, signifies an account of his desiring to save him. And I cannot escape to the mountain, signifies doubt as to his being able to have the good of charity. Lest peradventure evil cleave to me, and I die, signifies that then it could not but come to pass that he would be at the same time in evil, and thereby would be condemned. 2422. Lot said unto them, Nay, I pray, my lords, that this signifies weakness, so that he could not, is evident from the affection in the very words, as also from what follows. There is here treated of the third state of the church, represented in this chapter by Lot, which is that they no longer think and act from the affection of good, but from the affection of truth, which state succeeds when the affection of good begins to be diminished, and as it were to recede. Good is indeed present, but has withdrawn itself more toward the interiors, and therefore is in obscurity, and yet it manifests itself in a certain affection, which is called the affection of truth. What the affection of good is, and what the affection of truth, may be seen above, number 1997, and in what presently follows, number 2425. That there are these states is not apparent to man, still less what is the nature of them. But they are apparent to the angels as in clear light, for the angels are in every good affection of man, and they are apparent also to man himself when he comes into the other life. It is in accordance with these affections and the quality of them that the good are distinguished into societies. Number 685. 2423. That, behold, I pray, thy servant hath found grace in thine eyes, signifies humiliation from the affection of truth, and that thou hast made thy mercy great, signifies a semblance of humiliation from the affection of good, is evident from what has been said before concerning grace and mercy. Number 598, 981. For they who are in the affection of truth cannot humble themselves so far as to acknowledge from the heart that all things are of mercy, and therefore instead of mercy they say grace. Nay, the less of the affection of truth there is in them, the less of humiliation there is in their mention of grace. Whereas, on the other hand, the more of the affection of good there is in anyone, the more of humiliation there is in his mention of mercy. This shows how much the adoration, and consequently the worship, that exists with those who are in the affection of truth differs from that which exists with those who are in the affection of good. For in order that there may be worship, there must be adoration, and in order that there may be adoration, there must be humiliation. And this in all things of the worship, both in general and particular. What has been said will serve to show why both grace and mercy are here mentioned. 2424. Which thou hast done with me to make alive my soul. That this signifies an account of his desiring to save him is evident without explication. 2425. And I cannot escape to the mountain. That this signifies doubt as to his being able to have the good of charity, that is, to think and act from that good, is evident from the signification of a mountain as being love and charity. See number 795, 1430. As regards this doubt, the case is this. Within the affection of truth of those who are in this affection, there is the affection of good, but so obscurely that they do not perceive, thus do not know, what the affection of good is, and what genuine charity is. They do suppose that they know, but it is from truth, thus from knowledge, scientia, and not from good itself. Nevertheless, they do the goods of charity, not in order to merit anything thereby, but from obedience, and this in so far as they apprehend that it is the truth. For they suffer themselves to be led by the Lord out of their obscurity of good by means of the truth which appears to them to be truth. For example, being ignorant what the neighbor is, they do good to everyone whom they suppose to be the neighbor, especially to the poor, because these call themselves poor on account of being destitute of worldly wealth, to orphans and widows because they are so termed, to strangers because they are such, and so on with all the rest. And this they do so long as they are ignorant what is signified by the poor, by orphans, widows, strangers, and others. Nevertheless, seeing that in their affection of apparent truth there lies in obscurity the affection of good, by which the Lord leads them to such action, they are at the same time in good as to their interiors, and in this good the angels are present with them, and are delighted there with their appearances of truth, by which such persons are affected. But they who are in the good of charity, and from this in the affection of truth, do all things with discrimination, for they are in light, since the light of truth is from no other source than good, because the Lord flows in by means of good. These persons do not do good to the poor, to orphans, to widows, and to strangers, for the mere reason that they are so termed. For they know that those who are good, whether poor or rich, are neighbors more than all others, since by the good, good is done to others. And therefore, insofar as these persons do good to the good, they do it to others through them. They also know how to make distinctions among goods, and so among good men. They call the general good itself their neighbor in a greater degree, for in this there is regarded the good of still greater numbers. As still more their neighbor to whom charity is to be done, they acknowledge the Lord's kingdom on earth, which is the church, and the Lord's kingdom itself in the heavens, even still more. But they who set the Lord before all these, who adore him alone and love him above all things, derive the neighbor in all these degrees from him. For the Lord alone is the neighbor in the highest sense. Thus all good is the neighbor in so far as it is from him. But they who are in the opposite derive the degrees of the neighbor from themselves, and acknowledge only those as neighbor who favor and serve them, calling no others brethren and friends, and this with a distinction, accordingly as they make one with them. All this shows what the neighbor is, namely, that a man is our neighbor according to the love in which he is, and that he is truly the neighbor who is in love to the Lord and in charity toward his neighbor, and this with every possible difference. Thus it is the good itself with everyone that determines the point in question. 2426. Lest peradventure the evil cleave to me, and I die. That this signifies that then it could not but come to pass that he would be at the same time an evil, and that thereby he would be condemned, is evident without explication. What these words involve may be known from what has been said and shown before, number 301 to 303, 571, 582, 1001, 1327, 1328. namely, that the Lord constantly provides that evil should not be commingled with good, but that in so far as a man is in evil, so far is he removed from good. For it is better for a man to be altogether in evil than in evil and at the same time in good. For if he is in evil and at the same time in good, he must needs be damned eternally. It is the deceitful and hypocrites within the church who are most in danger of this. Such, therefore, is the meaning, in the internal sense, of lest the evil cleave to me, and I die. 2:4-7, verse 20. Behold, I pray, this city is near to flee thither, and it is a little one. Let me, I pray, escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Behold, I pray, this city is near to flee thither, signifies that he might be permitted to think and act from the truth of faith. And it is a little one, signifies from the little truth that he had. Let me, I pray, escape thither, signifies that from this small amount of truth it might be permissible to have regard to good. Is it not a little one? Signifies, might he not have some little truth? And my soul may live. Signifies that so perchance he might be saved. 2:4-8. Behold, I pray, this city is near to flee thither. That this signifies that he might be permitted to think and act from the truth of faith is evident from the signification of a city as being what is of doctrine, thus the truth of faith. See number 402, 2268. It is said to be near because truth is nearly related to good, on which account to flee thither signifies that he might be permitted to think and act from truth, seeing that he could not do so from good. Number 2422. 2:4-9. It is a little one. That this signifies from the little truth that he had is evident from the signification of a city as being truth, concerning which just above. Its being little signifies that there was little of truth here from the little that he had, as is evident from what precedes and what follows. As regards the thing itself, namely, that they who are in the affection of truth have little truth in comparison with those who are in the affection of good, this is evident from the fact that it is from the meager and obscure good appertaining to them that they regard truth. The truth in a man is exactly according to the good that is in him. Where there is little good, there is little truth. They are in a like ratio and in a like degree, or as we say, they march with even step. This indeed may seem a paradox, but still the case is so. Good is the very essence of truth, and truth without its essence is not truth, although it appears as if it were. It is merely a sounding brass and is like an empty vessel. In order that anyone may have truth in himself, he must not only know it, but also acknowledge it and have faith in it. He then for the first time has truth, because it then affects him and remains. It is otherwise when he only knows truth and does not acknowledge it and have faith in it, for in this case he has not the truth in himself. This is the case with many who are in evil. They are able to know truths, sometimes more than other men, but still they have not the truth. Nay, they have it so much the less, because at heart they deny it. It is provided by the Lord that no one should have, that is, acknowledge and believe, more truth than he receives of good. Hence it is here said of the city, by which truth is signified, that it is a little one, and again in this verse, is it not a little one? Also in verse 22, that he called the name of the city Zoar, which in the original language means little. For the reason that those are here treated of who are in the affection of truth, and not so much in the affection of good. 2430. Let me, I pray, escape thither. That this signifies that from this small amount of truth it might be permissible to have regard to good, is evident from what precedes and what follows. It was said that he should escape to the mountain, by which is signified the good of love and of charity, number 2419. But it was answered that he could not do this, but could escape to the city, by which is signified the truth of faith, number 2428. Thus that he could regard good from truth, or what is the same, charity from faith. Moreover, that city was situated at the foot of the mountain, and from it he afterwards went up and dwelt on the mountain, but in a cave. Verse 30. 2431. Is it not a little one? That this signifies, might he not have some little truth, is evident from what was said above, number 2429, thus without further explication. This question is asked for the reason that the Lord alone knows how much good there is in the truth, and thus how much truth there is in a man. 2432. And my soul shall live. That this signifies that so perchance he might be saved is likewise evident without explication. That he also was saved because there was good in his truth is evident from what follows, namely, from the answer. Behold, I have accepted thy face as to this word also, that I will not overthrow the city of which thou hast spoken. Verse 21. And afterwards, the sun was gone forth upon the earth, and Lot came unto Zoar. Verse 23. By which is meant that they who are in the affection of truth, that is, who are in faith, are saved, provided it is the faith of good. 2433, verse 21. And he said unto him, Behold, I have accepted thy face as to this word also, that I will not overthrow the city of which thou hast spoken. He said unto him, Behold, I have accepted thy face as to this word also. Signifies assent, provided that the interiors in the truth derive anything from good. That I will not overthrow the city of which thou hast spoken, signifies that thus he would not perish. 2434. He said unto him, Behold, I have accepted thy face as to this word also. That this signifies assent, provided that the interiors in the truth derive anything from good, is evident from the signification of face. The term face is of frequent occurrence in the word, and there signifies the interiors, as before shown, number 358, 1999. And also that when the face is attributed to Yahuwah or the Lord, it signifies mercy, peace, good. Number 222, 223. So that here it signifies the good which is interiorly in truth. And therefore, to accept the face denotes to assent, provided that the interiors in the truth derive anything from good. As to this word, denotes as to this matter. That there is no truth unless there is good within it may be seen above. Number 1496, 1832, 1900, 1904, 1928, 2063, 2173, 2269, 2401, 2403, 2429. And that the blessedness and happiness which a man has after death is not from truth, but from the good that is in the truth. Number 2261. And hence, the more good there is in his truth, the more blessed and happy he is. That good is within truth and causes it to be truth is evident also from the goods and truths that exist even in worldly things. When a man learns and acknowledges that anything in these is good, then whatever favors this good he calls truth, but whatever does not favor it he rejects and calls falsity. He may indeed say that that is true which does not favor the good in question, but he is then making a pretense while thinking differently. And the case is the same in spiritual things. 2435. That I will not overthrow the city of which thou hast spoken. That this signifies that so he would not perish, namely, the man with whom there is truth within which there is good, is evident from the signification of a city as being truth. See number 402, 2268, 2428. It has been disputed from the most ancient times which is the firstborn of the church, charity or faith, for the reason that man is regenerated and becomes a church by means of the truths of faith. But they who have set faith foremost and have made it the firstborn have all fallen into heresies and falsities, and at length have extinguished charity altogether, as we read of Cain, by whom such faith is signified, that at length he killed his brother Abel, by whom is signified charity, and afterwards of Reuben, the firstborn son of Jacob, by whom likewise faith is signified, that he polluted his father's couch. Genesis 35, verse 22, 49, verse 4, and therefore was held unworthy, and the primogeniture was given to Joseph. Genesis 48, verse 5, First Book of Chronicles, 5, verse 1. This was the source of all the contentions, and also all the laws, respecting primogeniture that are mentioned in the Word. The cause of there being such a controversy was that it was not known, as even at this day it is not known, that a man has only so much of faith as he has of charity, and that when a man is being regenerated, charity presents itself to faith, or what is the same, good presents itself to truth, and insinuates itself into it and adapts it to it in every particular, causing faith to be faith. And thus that charity is the very firstborn of the church, although to man it appears otherwise. See also number 352, 367. But as these things will frequently be treated of hereafter, of the Lord's divine mercy we shall say more on the subject as the occasion arises. 2436, verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou become thither. Therefore he called the name of the city Zoar. Haste thee, escape thither, signifies that he should remain in it because he cannot go further. For I cannot do anything until thou become thither, signifies that before the judgment upon the evil, they are to be saved who are in the affection of truth. Therefore he called the name of the city Zoar, signifies the affection of truth. 2437. Haste thee, escape thither. That this signifies that he should remain in it because he could not go further, that is to say, in the truth of faith and the affection of it, because he could not be in the very good of charity and the affection of it, is evident from what precedes. 2438. For I cannot do anything until thou become thither. That this signifies that before the judgment upon the evil, they are to be saved who are in the affection of truth, is evident from the fact that the words, I cannot do anything, refer to the judgment upon the evil, which is presently described by the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that the words, until thou become thither, signify that they are first to be saved who are in the affection of truth, and who are here represented by Lot, which also is what is meant by Lot's coming to Zoar, verse 23. That the good and the just are saved before the evil and the unjust perish is evident also elsewhere in the Word, as where the last judgment is treated of in Matthew. And it is said that the sheep were separated from the goats, and the sheep were told to enter into the Lord's kingdom before the goats were told to depart into eternal fire. 25 verses 32, 34, and 41. The like was also represented in the exodus of the sons of Israel from Egypt, that they were saved before the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea. The same is also signified by the declarations of the prophets, that after the faithful had been brought back from captivity, their enemies should then undergo their punishments and perish. This is continually taking place in the other life. That is, the faithful are first saved, and then the unfaithful are punished. Or what is the same, the faithful are elevated into heaven by the Lord, and the unfaithful then cast themselves down into hell. The reason why these two things do not take place at the same time is that unless the good were carefully withdrawn from the wicked, they would easily perish by the cupidities of evil and the persuasions of falsity, which the wicked continually scatter around like poisons. But in general, before this comes to pass, it is provided that evil should be separated from the good, and that good should be separated from the evil, so that the former may by means of their goods be uplifted by the Lord into heaven, and the latter by means of their evils may cast themselves down into hell. Concerning which subject of the Lord's divine mercy hereafter, at number 2449, 2451. 2439. Therefore he called the name of the city Zoar. That this signifies the affection of truth is evident from the signification of Zoar as being the affection of good, namely of the good of knowledge, scientia, that is, the affection of truth. See number 1589. And from the signification of calling a name, as being to know the quality. See number 144, 145, 1754, 2009. Here, that there was a little truth, for in the original language, Zoar means little or small. In comparison with those who are in the affection of good, they who are in the affection of truth have little truth, because they have little good. See above, number 2429. Moreover, that truths which are in themselves truths are with one person more true, with another less true, and with some not true at all, and even false, is evident from almost all things which in themselves are true. For they are varied in the man with whom they are, in accordance with his affections. For example, the doing of a good work or a good of charity. In itself, it is a truth that this is to be done. And with one person, it is a good of charity, because it proceeds from charity. With another, it is a work of obedience, because it proceeds from obedience. With some, it is a work of self-merit, because by it they desire to merit and to obtain salvation. But with others, it is hypocritical, being done in order that they may seem charitable, and so on. It is the same with all other things that are called truths of faith. And this shows that there is much truth with those who are in the affection of good, and less truth with those who are in the affection of truth. For the latter regard good as being more remote from themselves, whereas the former regard good as being present in themselves. 2440. Verse 23. The sun was gone forth upon the earth, and Lot came to Zoar. The sun was gone forth upon the earth signifies the last period, which is called the Last Judgment. And Lot came to Zoar, signifies that those are saved who are in the affection of truth. 2441. The sun was gone forth upon the earth. That this signifies the last period, which is called the Last Judgment, is evident from the signification of the rising of the sun, when the subject treated of is the times and states of the church. That in the internal sense, the times of the day, and also the times of the year, signify the successive states of the church, has been shown before, number 2323. And that the dawn or morning signifies the Lord's advent, that is, the approach of his kingdom, number 2405. So that in the passage before us, the rising of the sun, that is going forth upon the earth, signifies the Lord's presence itself. And this for the reason that both the sun and the east signify the Lord. As to the sun, see number 31, 32, 1053, 1521, 1529 to 1531, 2120. As to the east, number 101. The reason why the Lord's presence is the same as the last period, which is called the judgment, is that his presence separates the good from the evil and results in the good being elevated into heaven and the evil casting themselves down into hell. For in the other life, the Lord is the sun to the universal heaven. See number 1053, 1521, 1529 to 1531. For 'tis the divine celestial of his love that so appears before their eyes and actually makes the very light of heaven. Insofar, therefore, as the inhabitants of the spiritual world are in celestial love, so far are they elevated into that celestial light which is from the Lord. But insofar as they are remote from celestial love, so far do they cast themselves away from this light into infernal darkness. This, therefore, is the reason why the rising of the sun, by which is signified the presence of the Lord, involves both the salvation of the good and the damnation of the evil. And this is why it is now said for the first time that Lot came to Zoar, that is, that they who are here represented by Lot were saved. And presently, that Yahuwah caused it to rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire, that is, that the evil were damned. To those who are in the evils of the love of self and of the world, that is, to those who are in hatreds against all things of love to the Lord and of charity toward the neighbor, the light of heaven actually appears as thick darkness, on which account it is said in the word that to such the sun was blackened, by which is signified that they rejected everything of love and charity and received everything that is contrary thereto. As in Ezekiel, when I shall extinguish thee, I will cover the heavens and make the stars thereof black. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not make her light to shine. All the luminaries of light in the heavens will I make black over thee, and will set darkness upon the land. 32 verses 7 and 8. Everyone can see that by covering the heavens, blackening the stars, covering the sun, and blackening the luminaries of heaven, other things than these are signified. In like manner in Isaiah, the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. 13, verse 10. And in Joel, the sun and the moon are blackened, and the stars withdraw their shining. 2, verses 2 and 10. It is therefore evident what is signified by the Lord's words in Matthew, where he is speaking of the last period of the church, which is called the judgment. Immediately after the affliction of those days, The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. 24, verse 29. Where by the sun is not meant the sun, nor by the moon, nor by the stars, but by the sun are signified love and charity, by the moon, the faith thence derived, and by the stars, the cognitions of good and truth, which are said to be obscured, to lose their light, and to fall from heaven, when there is no longer any acknowledgement of the Lord, nor any love to him, nor any charity toward the neighbor. And when these have become naught, the love of self with its falsities takes possession of the man, for the one thing is a consequence of the other. Hence we read also in John, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and it was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God. Revelation 16, verses 8 and 9. Where also the last times of the church are treated of, when all love and charity are being extinguished, or, speaking according to the common mode, when there is no longer any faith. The extinction of love and charity is meant by the pouring out of the vial upon the sun, so that it was the love of self and its cupidities by which men were then scorched with fire and scorched with great heat, and from which came the blaspheming of the name of God. By the sun, the ancient church understood nothing else than the Lord and the divine celestial of his love. And therefore they were accustomed to pray toward the sun rising, while not thinking at all about the sun. But after their posterity had lost this also, together with the rest of their representatives and significatives, they began to worship the sun itself, and also the moon, which worship spread to many nations, so much so that they dedicated temples to them and set up pillars. And because the sun and the moon then took on an opposite signification, they came to signify the love of self and of the world, which are diametrically contrary to celestial and spiritual love. Hence in the word, by the worship of the sun and the moon, is meant the worship of self and the world, as in Moses. Lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the army of the heavens, and thou be driven to bow down unto them and serve them. Deuteronomy 4, verse 19. And again, if he have gone and served other gods, and the sun and the moon, or any of the army of the heavens, which I have not commanded, then thou shalt stone them with stones, and they shall die. Deuteronomy 17, verses 3 and 5. Into such idolatry was the ancient worship turned, when they no longer believed that anything internal was signified by the rites of the church, but only what was external. In like manner in Jeremiah, at that time shall they spread out the bones of the kings of Judah, of the princes, of the priests, of the prophets, and of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, before the sun and the moon, and all the army of the heavens, which they have loved, and which they have served. 8, verses 1 and 2. The sun here denotes the love of self and its cupidities. Their spreading out the bones signifies the infernal things that belong to such worshippers. Again, he shall break the pillars of the house of the sun, which are in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of Egypt shall he burn with fire. 43, verse 13. The pillars of the house denote the worship of self. 2442. And Lot came to Zoar. That this signifies that those who are in the affection of truth are saved is evident from the signification of Zoar as being the affection of truth, See number 2439. This shows that those also are saved who are in faith, provided there is good in their faith. That is, provided they are affected by the truths of faith for the sake of good, for this is from good. All the life of faith is from no other source. That charity is the essential of faith, nay, that it is faith itself, because it is the very substance of faith, may be seen above. Number 379, 389, 654, 724, 809, 916, 1162, 1176, 1798, 1799, 1834, 1844, 2049, 2116, 2189, 2190, 2228, 2261, 2343, 2349, 2417.